lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence shall come my help? My help is from the Lord God, maker of heaven and earth. He will not give to the moving of your foot, nor shall slumber he who keeps thee. Behold, he'll not slumber, nor will he sleep. He who keeps Israel.
Yahweh, God, Heavenly Father, we come to you this day to worship you and honor you, the God who made this world, the God who made us, the God who has gifted us, the God who has blessed us in mighty ways, the God who created the nation of Israel through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Lord, you are the God when we were in slavery from the Egyptians. You are the God who sent Moses to come and bring us out to do miraculous things, to defeat a powerful nation. Lord, you are the God who prepared a land for us that we call home. You gave us this home. And Father, as we walk through, you have provided for us so many things. Even kings like David, who have taught us so much about who you are. Lord, you are the God who is with each and every one of us, each and every day. Lord, unfortunately, we live in an ugly world. Lord, you are the God who established it. And Father, it has gotten so off track. People living for themselves, seeking to use whatever instead of following you. How long, O Lord? How long will this persist? How long will this continue? Why is it that you do not do the things we long for? The things we know is what a right life, a right culture would be. Father, we know we are an imperfect people, but we know you love us. You work through us, you change us, you use us. Lord, use us. Teach us. We give this time to you. In Yahweh's name. Amen. Are you ready to dig into the book of Habakkuk? You know, it was one of my favorites years ago because when you go to seminary, you have this reality that, you know, you learn many books of the Bible and you never get to other ones. And when I was on my vicarage, I did this study on Habakkuk, and it was kind of cool studying and talking about this totally unique prophet. Every book of prophecy in the Old Testament is prophesying to the people, telling the people, here, this is what God is saying, here, don't forget this, here, get this straight. Habakkuk is the one book of prophecy where Habakkuk is only talking to God, and God is only talking to him. So if you want to grab your Bible, we're going to be kind of digging in and looking through this book, because Habakkuk's in a hard time. He's in a hard time, and I'm guessing there's a few out there who feel like we're in a little hard time, whether it's family stuff, whether it's governmental stuff, whether it's your own life. There are hard times in life, and Habakkuk is a great example for us, something that we can all learn. So if we get to dive in, This is where we will begin. Verse 2. Oh God, how long? Right? Oh God, how long will I cry to you and you will not hear? I'm sure there have been moments in life where, like Habakkuk, you're calling on God, you're asking him to do something, you're seeing nothing, and you're starting to say, God, do you not even hear me? I've been asking, I've been bugging, I've been calling on you. You don't even hear me? This is a man of God who has been told by God to go share things with the nation of Israel. He's shared things with the nation of Israel. He's seeking to do what God says, and he sees nothing going well. It's like God's not using him. He calls him to do something, and nothing happens, and he's calling back to God saying, God, are you not hearing me? I thought you sent me to do this, and nothing's happening. Everything's a bit of a mess. And Habakkuk, he's dealing with tough things. Verse 2, he goes on, and you know, this absolute violence that is going on in this culture. There are people out there just beating others, stealing things, living for themselves. We have the very law of the Lord as the nation of Israel, and no one's following it. Kind of lucky compared to us. Oh, do we have a law of the Lord leading our nation? Ooh, no. I mean, things are ugly. Things are off track. In fact, he goes on and he says, right, I can't even avoid it. These things, I just see it everywhere I go. I know there's people that sometimes we try to hide ourselves away. I know the world's ugly, so I'm just going to avoid that world and just kind of live in my little house and just have a nice little place. He cannot even avoid it. The things that happen are happening, and God, you're making me see it. You're making me call on you to say something to these people, and it will not change them. In fact, in verse 4, he says this, the law is paralyzed. Yeah, we have the right law, the very truth of God, but it's paralyzed. These wicked people don't follow it. They use it to get what they can get, and there's no safe place to go to ask for help. That's Habakkuk, calling on God in the hard moments of life. And we have hard moments. I would say there's the many people who struggle with jobs and things are ugly and, you know, sometimes they're so ugly they're just like, eh, forget it. I'm just going to steal what I can get because the government doesn't help me. People don't help me. I'll help myself. Then you've got your wealthy people who, you know, let's just adjust the law to make my income even better. Let's just get as much as we can in this messed up world. It's so messed up that I can use it to gain more for myself. This is the world in which we live. And these are challenges for us. And Habakkuk, he comes, and he really comes to God and says, what's going on? I'm sure you've had moments of prayer like that. Lord, what the heck is going on? Why is this happening? You, the Almighty God, the God above it all, is allowing this? Do something, Lord. How long will this last? He's not the only one in the history of Israel. Now, there's other moments like this. The Apostle Paul, he has his burden that's limiting him. There's things going on in his body, and he doesn't know how to deal with it, and he calls on God, heal me. I'm trying to do your work, and these things get in the way, and I ask for your healing. 3 times I call out to you, and you say no. There are hard moments that come in life. There are hard things that happen, and there are challenges that we go through. When I was in college, there's no question, I grew up in a Christian home, and I went to a Christian school, and then I went to a public college, and far away from family. And I can tell you, this was probably in many ways the worst Chris, the most sinful Chris, those first few years of college. But you know what else? Getting stuck in the ugly world, it was something that also led me to begin to seek God. Because I tell you, when you get away from God, things get pretty bad. What is this? Why are you allowing this, Lord? There are things that go on in our life. And I can tell you, sometimes we say, God, answer me! And we don't get that voice of God. Sometimes we do. Sometimes people get a voice. Sometimes we get these great moments. Lord, you can't hear my prayer. Amen. And then the phone rings and a buddy calls and you're like, whoa, holy cow, you are speaking for God right now. There are times where we pray and pray and pray. But God has given us, He gives us, He hears our prayers. Here is words for you. I can tell you, for me, one of the challenges of life, I love preaching on a book of the Bible because I say the book of the Bible like mad and I am fired up. That word of God, the very word of God has things to share with us in the hard moments. You know, you have Martin Luther, incredible man. Who, when moments got hard, he's a guy who used to pray 2 hours a day. And his great quote is, boy, sometimes I know it's going to be a really bad day, so I pray 3 hours. You know, there are things that happen in life, and God calls us to come to Him. And that's what's great about Habakkuk. The hard things are happening. Habakkuk is coming to God, laying it down before Him. Laying it down to the God who loves him, the God who is with him. Now, there are times, and James writes about this in James chapter 4, he talks about this. There are times where we come to God and we just, blah, 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 and you're doing nothing. What's the problem? See, coming to God is like coming to a person. We come to a person, hey, what do you think? Talk to me. And God responds. Or, you know, there's this dialogue. There are times where we just cry out, but we do not stop and listen to the things that God has for us. We don't listen to our brothers and sisters. We don't share things with our brothers and sisters that will help us hear the things that God wants us to know. We don't dig in this word and hear what His word, His voice has to say. Our eyes are closed. And I think God did this to Habakkuk for a simple reason. He's been bothered for a while. And at this point, God's going to give a response. And He responds to him in a pretty powerful way. As we read, Habakkuk verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5, as this continues, he throws all this at God. And then in verse 5, oh, Habakkuk, I am doing something you will not believe. I'm doing incredible things, Habakkuk. Are you ready? Are you ready? I am sending the Chaldeans to come in and kill this nation. What? I said things have been bad. You say things are going to get worse. Oh, yeah, you've been so happy that, you know, the northern kingdom was destroyed and I preserved you. That Jerusalem will never be destroyed. Oh, yeah, guess what? I'm bringing the Chaldeans up. He's going to destroy the city of Jerusalem. Whoa, this is, and this all happens within 30 years of him. God comes and says, oh, Habakkuk, you think things are bad? You think people are being mean to each other? The Chaldeans. Oh, they're selfish. Oh, they're cruel beyond belief. Are you You want to know what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. Israel will be destroyed. The Chaldeans will come. And it's going to get ugly. Way uglier than you think it is now.
Oh.
Yeah. That is a challenge. And that is the challenge of a life of prayer. You dare to ask God, God will be honest with you. And sometimes what he is doing, the way he is working in the world, what his plans are not what we hope for. Not what we have on our heart and on our mind. And so, you know, this goes through 8 to 11, and he just kind of explains all the bad things are going to happen. You can check that out or do the Bible study. There's things in there on that, hitting that issue. But there are hard things. And there are hard things that happen to us in family life, in job life. We pray like mad, Lord, I need a job. And then you get a job, and you're like, yes! And then you're fired immediately. And it's like, ah! Lord, were you just trying to taunt me to get me up and then just tear me down? What is going on, Lord? We pray like mad for the sicknesses and the struggles physically in life. And sometimes the death still comes. There are hard moments. Not every moment, but there are hard moments in life. What I love about this book of Habakkuk is what happens next. He calls on God. He hears God. He listens to him. He is blown away that things are not going to go well. And sometimes we do that, we get angry. Just angry at you, God. How can you do that to me? How can you take that from me? We get upset. And sometimes we're like, forget it. I'm not even going to bother talking to you, God. I've dealt with people many times who get away from talking to God because they're upset. Away from talking to God because it's like, there's no hope. This is useless. What's the point? And we stop calling on the Lord, listening to him. Habakkuk gives us a very different way. And it's powerful. He comes in verse 12 and he calls on God in this messy time where God said, hey, bad things are going to happen, buddy. And instead of losing sight of God, he even starts it with this sense of, are you not from everlasting? God, you are God. I can avoid you. I can do everything. But you are God. You are the one greater than anything in this world that I face. You are the Holy One. You're it. He goes, we shall not die, Yahweh. And he knows the promise of God. He holds on to the promise of God. And the promise of God is that these people whom he has touched, that he has grabbed a hold of, he will never let go of. This is the promise we have in Christ that is so powerful and so true. The hard times that come, God has you in his hands. The mistakes, the failures, God's not punishing you. No, his son has come down and paid for our sins. He is in this world. He's not always doing the things that we want, but he has not left us. He is with us. The Spirit of God is in us. And this is what he longs for us to see and grab hold of. I think for me in those college years, that's when I woke up. Things got so bad that I prayed. Things got so bad that I knew I needed God. I knew I needed him. And that's exactly what Habakkuk knows. There's no answer outside of the Lord who is mighty, the Lord who has your lives in his hands. But he goes on, you know, okay, I know you are God. I know your promise of salvation is ours. Nothing can take that away. No matter how rough this life gets, salvation is ours in you. Verse 13. But how do you do this, Lord? You are going to correct me by sending an uglier, non-godly nation. Wait a minute, Lord. Why are you allowing worse people to beat up on Christians who have got it a little wrong? I don't understand it, Lord. I don't get it. Why would you do this? Why would you use evil people to correct good people? Because we deserve it. I know we deserve it. I started this off talking about our mistakes and our messes. We deserve it. I've had people in life, sometimes the hard moments come. There are struggles going on in their life, and they're like, you know, this has gotten so hard. Oh, I know I'm not a perfect person, but this is beyond what I deserve. And at that point, I'm like, no, it's not. You ready? The hard things that happen in your life, no matter how hard they get, whether they're physical problems, whether they're relational problems, the problems that you face in life, you deserve every bit of it. Because either we want God to treat us as we deserve, which means we're all in deep trouble. We all have mistakes. We all have things in our life that we have messed other people up. We all deserve punishment. But God does not punish us. He sent Christ. We aren't getting punished, all right? These people don't deserve it more than, okay, no, you never put that. And never say, oh, why would that person get to do this to me when I'm a better person than them? Oh, no. So this is, Habakkuk's gotten a little off track with his emotional passions. But he comes and he lays this to God. And this is, to me, the greatest of Habakkuk. And now we're at the end of the chapter. Well, this book was not written in chapters. It's just the words. So let me tell you, we're going to the next verse, 2 verse 1, because this is powerful. What does Habakkuk do in this circumstance? He doesn't run from God. He doesn't get angry and shove at God. He brings it to the Lord. And in chapter 2, verse 1, he says it. I will take my stand at my watch post. Okay? Lord, I don't understand how this is all working. I'm breaking all the things you've called me to do, and I'm going to sit here and wait for you to talk to me. Ah! That's a challenge. Can you, in the hard time, just take a break? Listen. Discover. Allow God to talk with you. Allow God to heal what's broken. In fact, he goes on in this statement and he says, to hear your answer to my complaint. I know I'm complaining to you, God. In fact, he says it almost in a way, different translation, it sounds a little different, but he almost says it, look, I know I'm complaining, I know I'm probably wrong, God, but I just need to hear you. I'm going to take time to just sit before you and hear what you have to say. And I'm so glad that this is a 3-week series, because that's as far as we're going today. Oh, you're like, what? You can read it. It's kind of cool. We're going to preach on it and talk about it. But this is where he was as we're going through this book. And these are moments where we get that way as well. But what an example he is to us, right? He reminds us of some important things for our life. Talk to God. He's there. I am with you always, says Christ. Talk to me. Listen to God, okay? Don't just meh, 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 meh. No. Sometimes, Lord, I don't even understand. All right, I'm just going to pause and listen to you. Lean on God. Christ has come. He is with us in everything. Hold on to him. Because in the hard days that come, we are not alone. In the hard days that come, God has his plan, whether you understand it or not. Hold on to him, for he made you. He redeemed you. He has heaven established for you. But we live in the ugly world. Are you ready? You can go back and read the next chapter and stuff like that. But don't let go. In essence, God starts this off. Talk to me. Come to me. Throw it at me. For I am with you always. Let us pray. Father, we come to you this day so grateful, Lord, that you are the God who made us. You are the God who loves us. You are the God who has his plan for us. And you are the God. You are the God who sometimes does things differently than we expect. Things that we don't even understand. And Lord, like Habakkuk, Lord, allow us to never let go of you. For Lord, you never let go of us. You love us so deeply. You walk with us in all the challenges that we face. Whether we understand them or not, Lord, you are the mighty God, the God above it all. Like Isaiah's time, where ugly things are taken control. Lord, allow us to simply hold on to you, talk to you, and walk with you. And we do it all in Jesus' name. Amen.